The great thing about a home-cooked meal with friends and family is how it brings everyone together to create something that will be shared with everyone.
The family that cooks together slays together. Today, Jade Sotomayor from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 1 joins us to talk about her episode of Cooking with Drag Queens with her best friend, Monica Beverly Hills.
Plus, her original crew of friends who all eventually made it onto Drag Race.
And RuPaul announces RuPaul's Celebrity Drag Race, a spinoff of the original series featuring celebrities as they attempt to become glamazons.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Ooh.
Loca! Our guest today is a drag queen who can handle the heat in the kitchen, the original Rue Girl, Jade Sotomayor.
Presente.
From RuPaul's Drag Race Season 1.
OG Fish.
The classic season. OG
Lost
Fish.
Season.
Original yes. Fish.
The which Vaseline. Is back. It's back in effect now. You can catch me for free finally.
Oh, where can people watch it?
I know that's on Hulu and Amazon, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hulu I've been getting Amazon. A lot of mail from new fans, and it's really exciting to see these young kids get to see what started the phenomenon.
You showed me some of those pictures. There's a lot of pictures from bottoms. Like, guys in the bottom pose. Like, I'm laying in bed, here's my face, and if you look behind, there's a butt. You know, they're like, get these snakes off the plate and into my
fans of the snakes.
Ass.
Yes, they're fans of the snakes.
For all the Rue Girls, and there's over 100 of them now, right?
Yeah, it's been over 100 for some time now.
And you're one of the top 10 most sexually desired Rue Girls, and the fans are obsessed with you and like to share shirtless photos of you on social media. And
the Rue trade.
And they're very they're enamored with you, and they send you photos of their body parts to you. How do you feel about that?
Oh, that's amazing. I think it's great that people can feel, you know, special enough to send me their pics.
Well, if you guys want to send us pics, you can do that at mail.
Absolutely.
At
I mean, the more you feel great with yourself, the better. Yes, absolutely.
I appreciate, you know, people feeling their oats, but it's nice to form a relationship and then ask me if you want to see my junk or not, you know. I think, right? It's I show you my dick? Can I show you my butt? And then...
I mean, you know, it doesn't bother me. How you come across is definitely if you're going to get a reply or not. I mean, if you make me laugh, I'll definitely reply.
And I saw your dick. It made me giggle.
Oh, and if you catch me drunk, you might catch another picture back in return.
Oh, really?
I like to text.
Hello.
Well,
hello.
Your Instagram gets pretty heated, too. Yeah, I've seen your backside more often than I've seen my own.
Well, but my fans like it. They love it. I mean, I have pictures there where I've spent 4 hours on makeup and have half the likes that I do with just taking a booty shot. So yeah. I got to please my fans, too.
Well, we have always known you since the very beginning of RuPaul's Drag Race. You were the first Rue Girl to come on Feast of Fun. Yes. Did you know that, right?
Yes.
And from the beginning, we had made the funny thing about Cooking with Drag Queens, which is, by the way, Cooking with Drag Queens, a new episode is up.
Yes, with Monica Beverly Hills, my baby sis.
And you.
Yes, and myself.
And you guys are making beef empanadas. And the irony of all this is that we did the exact same video before. And it got lost.
We had to redo it.
So we recreated the entire thing again. Yeah.
But you weren't in drag when we did it the first time, you know, and neither was Monica.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So it's good that you guys got in drag for it.
And you guys look phenomenal. Like, I'm looking at the photos and the footage, and it's like, you look so good. And I think that's part of it is, and we were talking about this in Cooking with Drag Queens, is that as Rue Girls, you guys know how to present yourselves to video cameras and to photo cameras in a way that other people not necessarily are aware of that.
Yes, yeah. And just what I loved about coming back and filming was that you guys had the time to film us out of drag and in drag.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen Monica in a while. You know, this is one of my best friends for years. And it had been a while. We had a little kind of falling out between friends and work, and we hadn't seen each other for a while. I mean, we've always been family and talk. Mm-hmm. So when we saw each other, it was a little bit more emotional because we were kind of like retelling stories of how we know each other and, you know, just falling back in love with each other. And to see the final edit, I was just floored. I was in tears. I had to call her right away. I was like, oh my God, I love you, sister.
Oh, that's that so makes sweet. Me so that you just made my day.
I'm telling you, honestly, I couldn't, I like, cause you're like, cool. You sent me the link. I'm like, okay, cool. And then I finally said that. I said, I'm going to watch it. Watch the whole thing uninterrupted. And I was in tears
because you responded to me. I was like, cool. I was like, well, I guess she didn't like it. I was like, maybe she doesn't like, you know, maybe she's not talking to Monica Beverly Hills again.
She was crying too much to be able to text.
That's the thing about it is, and that food brings people together. And what we want to do with Feast of Fun is to bring people together to get people to be validated and be heard. And, you know, unfortunately, not every Rue Girl is a sensation and celebrated. And that's what we can do is remind the world that Jade Sotomayor is fierce and fabulous and still has plenty of snakes on the plane to bite you off.
I'm never going to live past that one.
It's really one of my favorite Cooking with Drag Queens, too, because we celebrate one of my favorite cultural touchstones. Puerto Rico.
Yes. Well, I mean, you said it. It brings us together. I completely forgot I was filming a show for a second there. I'm looking at all these ingredients and just like really getting into the whole kiki with you guys. So I really enjoyed it.
And you actually make empanadas on your own.
Oh, yeah. Totally. And this is one of my favorite things to make. It's so easy. But the way you made it, you know, that crust was phenomenal.
We usually make the Goya. Yeah. Pre-made crust,
which is still great, which is awesome.
And it's fine, but when you do that it's kind of like a hot water crust.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, you're the one who found this recipe.
Well, you just, you know, you make it and because it's homemade, it's not frozen ahead of time. It's the difference between imagining like a pie crust that you buy in the store and roll out or pie crust that you make at home.
Well, and all the fresh ingredients that you had diced. Like I've told you, I was used to the sofrito, which is already pre-made and stuff like that. It was a total different experience. Yeah. I loved it.
So for people who don't know what sofrito is, it's basically like the spices, onions, garlic and peppers all kind of cooked together. So you can quickly make these kind of dishes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it has the ingredients right there. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, it's like one of my desserts I love is an empanada with like guava paste
and cream cheese.
Yes. Oh, so delicious.
So for you guys who are watching this and you watch the end of Cooking with Drag Queens, at the very end, we're like, you have two different kinds of empanadas. But during the editing, there was just not enough time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys want to go to patreon.com/feastoffun, and join, you can get the recipe for the guava cream cheese empanadas. But if you don't want to do it, I can tell you the recipe right now. You just take guava paste, some cream cheese, some vanilla and sugar, cream the cream cheese and the vanilla and sugar, and the guava paste, keep it separate, and that's where you stuff it in with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think guava paste really it's a wonderful stuffing that a lot of people don't even aware this exists because it's tart.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. And it just goes well. My dad would always have it with a slice of cheese.
Yeah, just like that.
For dessert. Mm-hmm. And I think like cheese and guava paste go really, really well together.
And a saltine cracker, right? Isn't that how you eat it? Yeah. A saltine guava paste and cheese.
And so I'm really glad that we got to show that and show, you know, Puerto Rican culture being done. And in terms of like one of my favorite beverages of all time, I think is a piña colada.
I was going to say, we had the drinks too. They were amazing.
Yeah. I grew up like eating and piña coladas as breakfast, like a smoothie.
Well, what I thought was so cute was having these old school recipes turned in, you know, getting them all like fancied up and, you know, juice them and all of that. I loved it. I really thought that it's a lot of fun to be able to like do that presentation with old school recipes.
And piña coladas are wonderful, but they are so high in calories.
A lot of sugar.
Your dad is the one who makes those piña coladas in your household.
Yes, my dad does.
Why is it so important for your dad to make those drinks?
I think that's just something that it sticks with you in family, you know, tradition. You always expect one family member to bring something, and my dad is the one that always brings the piña colada. And I mentioned like the flans is my aunt. It's like that's the thing that's always, we wait for that. My other aunt, she used to bring this for like Thanksgiving. What was it? Sweet yams or sweet potatoes.
Ñame or batatas.
With the marshmallows and all that stuff.
Which is sweet potatoes.
Sweet potatoes, yeah, that. And she stopped making it. And it's like every year I still always think about like, why hasn't she made it? And I always read her for it, but she doesn't make them anymore. But
every time I eat an empanada, I think about you.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what's the wonderful thing about cooking at home is that with every food, you associate a happy feeling or your memory. Love for somebody.
Yes.
And I make these empanadas and I take them to work and I give them, I surprise my coworkers with them. I said, here's a gift for you. And they're like, what? Where'd you get a beef empanada? You know, and I make them big.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh my God, this tastes so good. What? And I was like, oh, that's from Cooking with Drag Queens with Jade Sotomayor, the original fish.
I got a challenge for you. One of the recipes that my mom used to make, which is nothing, it's just fried eggs with, you know, sandwich, but she used to put span ham in it. And there's nobody else who can make that for me the way she does. And if you guys could figure out a nice little way to twist that.
You just fry some spam and scrambled eggs or fried egg?
Fried egg. Mm.
You know, one of your girlfriends, her uncle started the Jibarito sandwich here in Chicago.
Oh.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
I think I do.
I forgot her name.
Okay. I think you guys had a big fight.
She was also a Rue girl, too.
Yeah.
No, we're fine.
What was her name again? I forgot her name.
Yeah, no. I think you're right. I think Borinquen? I forgot which.
Borinquen restaurant. Borinquen? Yeah.
Yeah, Borinquen.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a Chicago thing, right? Because
Jibarito's really... Did you actually forget it or were you just being shady?
No, I was trying to get the name of the restaurant. Oh.
Silly. So Naysha Lopez, she went on, started, I guess you guys got into a fight or something.
Oh, we were always fighting. I mean, this has been going on since high school, but I mean, I'm just glad.
Because you guys are old friends.
Yeah. Friends. And, you know, yeah. And I'm glad we're just over that stage in our life.
That's so good to
hear. It took a while, but, you know, we're finally, I think it just comes time with age and, you know, what really is important to you, you know?
Who's part of your original tribe? That's Monica Beverly Hills, Naysha Lopez, you, Lila Starr, and Gia Gunn's drag mother.
Ali Gunn. She used to be around with us. But Gia Gunn came a little later because she was younger.
Yeah.
So it was a little harder to sneak her into the clubs, but, you know.
Oh, she was trying to get into the clubs with you guys?
Oh, we always got her in the clubs. She was at that time, she was studying hair. Mm-hmm. So she had her whole kit. So I used to just bring her in like she was my hairstylist. And then we would just go downstairs and yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that like before RuPaul's Drag Race became this big thing, there used to be a lot of like Latino queer clubs.
Yeah.
All over in Kingsbury and the South Side.
Right before, because it started at Hanchuluna and then we moved to Mambo's.
Uh-huh.
And that's where I started hosting with Monica Beverly Hills and I brought all the girls and it was the first 18-year-old and over club that was actually being showcased on Boy Magazine and it was like one of the number one clubs and it was doing really well. And then we kind of moved over to that area that you were talking about. But then, you know, as it all happens, you know, time... You know, changes and
I miss those days.
Yeah. Well, I mean, half of us got on RuPaul's Drag Race and got busy. So that happened to the crew.
Bye bye, 18-year-old kids.
Well, those days were so magical. And I remember like going to the club and I was just like, oh my God, there's another gay world to Chicago.
I was not aware of. Yeah, I was able to have it up to probably about season 3 because I had some of the RuPaul girls come to the 18 over club and do some performances as well.
Do you miss it?
I miss it. In a way that it was a lot of fun, but I don't think I would want to go back and repeat any of that. I'm open for new adventures and all that, but I do miss having a home with a group of cast girls that, you know, we would make productions and stuff like that. Right now it's more on our own. We all do our own gigs and, you know, travel.
Because that was your thing. It was like you would do a bunch of things with other people on stage. It wasn't just like one drag queen at a time doing a number. It was three or
absolutely.
Four.
I used to do complete dancers, productions with dancers and all.
On Cooking with Drag Queens that you can watch now on youtube.com/feastoffun. You notice we're talking about your mom, your wonderful mom, Noemi, who was on the podcast with you guys in the past. And we meant to call her, but we all forgot to call her. Don't forget to call your mother, people.
Call mommy.
She did send her love, though. She loves you guys so much. You know how she adores you guys.
And she's doing well down in Puerto Rico?
She's doing well. She went
through Hurricane Maria,
Like a champ. She did so well. I mean, I was able to do the GoFundMe, which a lot of my sisters, Acebetti, Alaska, Gia Gunn, they were all people who helped out. And
that's so sweet.
Yeah, very sweet. And,
What happened with your family with Maria? That you guys needed to raise money for?
Yeah, well, she lost, obviously the whole island lost light, so she needed a generator. She needed there was a list of things that went off, her windows, the roofing, But she's fine now. She's a trooper. I mean, those little houses there, she got lucky because she's in the corner of the island.
She lost her roof of her house?
Well, the top part broke off and then all the water was coming in. So there was like like mold and all that stuff that needed to be fixed. But I mean, happier time. She's doing good now. That other storm was, there was another storm that just passed by. She was like, it was nothing. She was like, I think I heard something, but she's like, they're all troopers down there now. They're already.
Shit. And I guess I just saw Gia Gunn and Lila Starr on social media shirtless.
You know, I have heard you were saying, but
and
I haven't seen this.
Are they filming a porn? What's going on?
Did you find out?
No, I don't. I asked them. I was like, "What's going on with this?" And you know, Gia Gunn doesn't respond to any of my text messages.
Yeah. Oh, I would have to call her.
Absolutely.
Wait, who had their boobs out?
Both of them.
So it's Gia Gunn.
Gia's and got Lila some Star. Titties now.
Lila Starr's been on the podcast before.
Lila Starr, the first Latina trans rapper, correct? Right?
Yeah.
She was. Oh, she was on the video with The Vixen and Shea Coulee.
And they're, you know, sun's out, tits out, and
well, I want to see that. That's gonna be awesome.
And I'm like, holy cow! You know, they look gorgeous, and it's very elegant. I know the photographer is probably gonna do an amazing job with it.
I can't wait to see. I'm telling you, these are a group of girls that before their transition have been part of my family. Like my nieces, like I said, that's why I wanted this button that says nobody's mom because I just
that's Cohen's merchandise.
Mm-hmm. See, I just because I never felt that I was in a position to be. To me, a drag mother had to really take care of the kid and house them. And feed them. And I wasn't in no position for that. So I'd always tell them, no, I'll be your auntie. And I would help them with costumes or whatever I could. And to see them become such beautiful women, Monica, Gia, Ali, Lila, it's insane. I can't wait to see these pictures. I mean, they look gorgeous.
I want to see them too. I mean, I saw them like they were like giving us a sneak peek beforehand.
Because Gia's been killing it with those photo shoots.
Yeah.
Like she's gorgeous.
Well, and she started, I guess, being a beauty blogger now, and so
well,
she's,
you know, and that just shows
her personality.
That just shows you, you know, putting your work to where you want your dreams to be. And she was sneaking into clubs with me. She was background dancing for me, and now look at her. She's headlining. She's doing her own music videos. I'm so proud of her.
I think she and LaGanja Estranja were roommates for a while. Los Angeles.
Well, I know that they traveled together for a long time doing a tour together, so I could imagine that would make sense.
And I think she's part of the House of Edwards now, too, isn't she?
She was. I don't know if she's... still have a thing.
Do they get kicked out after a while?
I'm not sure how that works.
You're done now.
But I do notice that all of the House of Edwards have been pretty much doing their own thing, so I don't know if it's something's broken up or it's just they're all busy.
What was it Gia said that she... when she walked in on All Stars 2, that she didn't recognize.
That there was like two people she didn't recognize. She's such
a
cunt.
She didn't recognize the people. Like, I don't know who these people are. And like, girl, did you not watch the show? And she's just like, no.
She's like, after I was on it, I didn't watch shit.
I fuck with people sometimes. And I'm just like, oh, don't you know Deborah St. Clair? She was on the second season of RuPaul's Drag Race. She was the third queen that was eliminated.
You get me
and
thinking.
They're like, what? And their brains just melt. And I'm like, yeah, because no one, and I could lie and say that I was on RuPaul's Drag Race. You just don't remember me because I got eliminated quickly.
Oh, but you know? And I tell you the truth, it'll probably work because there's been a lot of fans that did not know season one. And the minute they told them that I was on season one, they were all about it and believed it without even any confirmation of pictures or anything.
Have you rewatched the season? Did they change the editing at all? Is it still got the Vaseline lenses?
I don't think there's any way you could save
they
that.
Didn't get the original and remaster them or anything?
I know that when they re-released it as the Lost season, shady as hell.
The only thing
they did was do like pop-up. Okay. So RuPaul would come out and be like kind of reading whatever was happening. Like I remember all of us were coming in with purses to the workroom and she's like, well, I already got a purse. You know, just making fun and stuff like that.
Why did you have a purse?
Well, my lip gloss and anything else I needed in that purse.
It was different because RuPaul was in drag hanging out with you guys. And it was, there was a very warmth to the experience that other Ru girls haven't experienced in following seasons.
Yeah, and that's what I do hear a lot. That one thing I'm blessed about is that I did have that very nice family cast. You know, even with Mama Ru, she would come in and she would definitely talk to us. She met us in the parking lot one time in the van, and she was just kikiing with us. So I'm grateful for that. I do understand why it may be hard for her not to be able to talk to contestants now because of everything that happens, and the fandom is so, you know, very strict on all that.
And there's so many of them.
And there's some, you know, fans and Woo girls that are rotten and spoil it for everybody and betray the trust that is inherent in the process of filmmaking.
Yes.
Who's the most recent that's been the...
the most problematic
because I know Tyra Sanchez came forward and was just like, you know, listen, my behavior, I didn't read the whole thing, but she's just like, listen, I was really acting out and I apologize for my behavior. And I was kind of like, wow,
that's pretty cool.
Okay.
You know, and you want to create space for people to grow and improve as we have, you know, like, I don't know, like some diehard fans of RuPaul's Drag Race have a vendetta against us because we dared to ask Trixie Mattel about her weight. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, you guys got shit for that.
Listen, I have to say that weight is a real trigger for a lot of people. You know, it's just and just talking about weight or health issues or whatever can be really hard. But, you know, you guys have to trust that when we talked about the weight with Trixie, it was like because her urgence, you know, she said, ask me about like gaining weight, because it's like when you get on Drag Race, it's like you've been broke your whole life, then you get on Drag Race and then you can finally eat, you get what's called like the freshman 15.
I went through it too. There's pictures of me like during season 2, season 3, where like I had no neck. It was so bad,
thick and juicy, honey.
You gotta imagine, it was just liquor.
They follow Fausto on Reddit. Fausto follows a lot of bodybuilders and fitness guys. And one thing is like when you talk to fitness and guys, it's like what are your measurements? How much do you weigh? That kind of thing. Because like if you just post a picture, it's hard to tell like where they're at. And so that's a very common talk when you're talking to somebody who's an athlete about bodybuilding. How much do you weigh? What size are you? That kind of thing. And so I think that they just think that we're obsessed with people's weight all the time, and it's just like if we were obsessed with weight, I mean, come on. Look
but at Trixie
us.
Lost a lot of weight, right? Because I just
recently,
I just saw some pictures. She looked fabulous. She looked really, really, really.
So anybody can go to reddit.com/user/feastoffun/comments and read the comments that I make, and I'll read you some of them right now. My last comment was about Hello Eve from Dragula. Mm-hmm. I said, I feel her rage, and it is beautiful.
Aww.
And then Camp Wanakiki and the Olympics have the same logo now, which is so crazy to me and so kind of fucked up that the Olympics wouldn't like vet this new logo that's basically the Camp Wanakiki logo. With the Olympic rings beneath it.
Because there's a flame going on.
It's a flame with women's lips. And I'm like, that's kind of strange for Olympics to be so femme.
Wow.
You know?
I didn't see this.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing. And so I just wrote, imitation is the laziest form of flattery. And then somebody was, the tension between Tulsi Gabbard and Hillary Clinton's comments. I wrote, but what about Hillary's emails? Why aren't we talking about Hillary's emails? Won't anybody talk about Hillary's emails?
Are you sure you could do that voice?
My doctor says not to do it.
Medical alert.
So I don't. For the long-term listeners of the show, you guys have heard me and Mark for 15 years, and I have suffered for. I thought it was vocal exhaustion.
Well, it is, basically.
And through the you listen to the shows, especially like the intros, I'm sounding like, you know, like I'm losing my voice. And so I called the doctor and they referred me to Dr. Sims of the Institute for Voice Care in Chicago. And we went downtown this morning and they stuck a camera down my throat, you know, and they were having me go like, you know, making vocal exercises to see my vocal cords vibrating.
To see if they had any nodes or anything like that on.
Because I was really concerned there was some damage there from all the...
Got a little gremlin living in there.
Something, you know, I was like, get these snakes out of the plane. And so thankfully, I don't have any warts or polyps or physical damage. I was also worried as I got older that your vocal cords will thicken. That's not happening. So what I'm having is they say that I have a very malleable and a very plastic voice. And that is why I can, you know, go all over the place, and it's a very wacky sounding voice. But the problem with that is just like, you know, your vocal cords are like basically a vagina. They look like a vagina. Yeah. If you look at a vocal cords, it's a vagina. And my pussy is stretched out.
She's a loosey goosey.
It doesn't tighten up, does it?
It doesn't tighten up. It doesn't close fully. So the door stays open. And so phlegm develops around that area. And so where I'm going through therapy for the next month or so, to retrain my voice to sound like I used to. And thankfully, the Dr. Sim said, I have the podcast of years past to know what my voice is supposed to sound like.
Oh.
So it's, you know, the podcast saves my life once again.
But part of it, he said it was caused by, like, tension and stuff, right?
Too. Yeah, I gotta relax! I don't...
No Vanjie voices.
So,
no.
Yeah, so I guess, and basically the doctor was saying, and we talked about this, is... The way Vanessa Vanjie Matteo and Danny Trejo have this, you know, gravel voice, yeah. And I don't want to imitate it because I'm told not to imitate it, is a permanent condition of what I have. That their voice is actually, you know, may not, it's something that they've trained themselves into talking that way as a way of surviving or dealing with stress and exhaustion.
Mm.
So, you know, everybody say a little prayer for me as I go through these. I have to do all these weird exercises and
I bet you some of our fun.
Could you just shut up for a while?
That's what I was talking about. I was like, well, can I go on vocal rest? And they're like, that would be the worst thing to do.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you have to train your voice to talk more. So to talk in the way you used to talk and not the way you're talking now. If that makes any sense.
So what exercises are you talking about?
So I have to do vibrations and I look at my...
A little humming.
I have to, yeah, I go... and I look at a pitch pipe because my voice is wanting to drop. So it's like... and I not do that, but to stay up high.
Oh, so yes, let's all pray for him.
So I have to put my my fingers on the top of my mustache and feel the vibration there and see how that's going to go out. So I'm optimistic. I'm happy because I was really, really worried that I had some physical damage in my vocal cords, and that's not the case. And so I'm going to be okay.
Thankfully, thank God you're all good.
Yeah. So are you dressing up for Halloween at all or?
Well, yeah.
What do you do for Halloween?
The same shit I do every other day. Dress up.
So you're just being dragged.
Yeah, pretty much.
Are you being like a little kitty cat or, you know, a little something?
I'm actually going to keep it a secret because it's kind of funny. But one of the things I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be working with Neverland for their Halloween show. And it's the Magical Kingdom Haunted. So I'm going to be a wicked version of Ursula.
Oh
yeah!
How many tentacles are you gonna have?
Actually, I think it's only 8 because I think it's 4 in the front and then 4 in the back. But it's like this whole built-in costume that I have to like go inside and then come out.
Oh, so, sweet! So maybe you can steal.
It's gonna be a lot of fun.
That's how I feel like Ariel. Right. Oh my god! How exciting is that? Well, I got my Spider-Man. Into the Spider-Verse costume today. So I was going to go as Dad Bod Spider-Man.
Okay, okay.
And so Mark and I put the Spider-Man costume on, and I'm like, it's sexy.
It's sexy.
It's totally sexy. I'm like, ooh, girl, I want to take some dicks in this thing.
Well, I'm gonna definitely be one of the beauty bloggers.
What?
For Halloween.
You're going as Gia Gunn for Halloween?
You are? You're going as Gia Gunn?
Not Gia Gunn, but one of the beauty bloggers.
Star.
You never know. We'll see who it is.
Oh.
But it was because I accidentally looked like one of them, and Monica called me out on it. So it's Monica's idea.
Would I know
idea.
This person?
Yeah, I think a lot of people know this person.
Okay.
I love how Monica says moist.
Moist.
I like eating fried yuca because it's moist.
I miss her. She wanted to be here, but she had prior engagements, so she sends all her love, though.
Back to you, my dear.
They had me read the Rainbow Passage.
They did?
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. Because it's a clinic that also helps transgender people train their voices.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
So the rainbow passage is, just to give you a taste of it, when sunlight strikes raindrops in the air, they act like a prism and form a rainbow, and so on and so forth. And I was like, wow, this is like, I'm in trans America. I'm like, you know, they're basically feminizing, in a sense. What I'm doing is I'm feminizing my voice.
Yeah, because it's too butch now.
It's too butch now. Yeah,
that's awesome. But even like what you're saying with the Olympics now being a little bit more flamboyant. I mean, like now, I mean, what else can we do? I blame RuPaul's Drag Race for everything, because now they're having what, the celebrities come on now and even run?
Yeah. Celebrity Drag Race.
RuPaul's Drag Race Celebrity Edition is been filmed in the can, and a lot of girls are mad about it.
And they're coming for my gig.
They're coming for your gigs.
Yeah.
So all those out of work Hollywood actors now be coming to your clubs.
It's going
to
be drag everywhere. Well, so they brought back, you know, alumni Alyssa, Asia, Bob, Kim, Monet, Monique, Nina, and Trinity, Trixie, and Vanjie. And I assume they're getting help, these girls, like, or men who are going to become girls, into doing drag.
I don't know. It's going to be some kind of competition. But I mean, I'm not surprised, because I'm seeing a lot of these celebrities at the drag con, you know, just there. I don't know exactly why, but.
Oh, now you know.
Huh?
Now you know why.
Now I know.
Who have you seen? Who'd you see?
Oh, there's a lot of different
like who?
The artists. Well, I mean, let me think.
Give me a name.
I don't want to say any, because then it sounds like the ones that I was being shady about. But there's a lot of people that I was really happy to see there. Like the Julie Newmar's been there. Mm-hmm. That was really cool.
They're gonna make Julie Newmar into a drag queen. She is a drag queen. And
she should be the judge, like the main judge. She is sickening. She is so stunning, so beautiful.
So they're probably gonna get like ingenues or people that are younger. Like I would love to see Tom Holland, you know, Spider-Man.
He did drag for a lip sync battle.
I wouldn't be complaining if he wasn't on RuPaul's
Well, that's what Drag I thought, because, I mean, you know, obviously the lip sync battle is a total ripoff of what, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race is.
It's going to be like Sean Spicer.
But I hope that it's still at the same quality. You know what I mean? I don't really want to see another version of Drag U. I mean, we did that. It's was done and let it
RuPaul
stay.
Absolutely, like when people ask her questions about Drag U, she's like, you know, the audience didn't really care for it, but I loved it. She goes, that was my favorite show. Like, that's the one that she was really in love with.
Well, I mean, I maybe because she was able to bring her family to at one point. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool to see her work with her sisters and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Aren't you surprised that RuPaul's sisters don't look anything like RuPaul?
Oh, yeah, right. You know, they're like all so small.
He's like just this anomaly.
I just thought that with Drag U, it was cute to watch, but it wasn't really. I mean, that's not how we're going to dress real women to go outside and find their confidence. You know, well, I mean, it was kind of a joke.
It's
you know?
A fun kind of thing. But, you know, a lot of people are upset, especially, you know, the trans women and women who do drag. Are upset because they're like, you know, they're on the celebrity show. It's probably going to have some women contestants is what they're guessing. And like, oh, so that can have a woman on there, but you can't have a woman on Drag Race.
But with the evolution of drag, I hope they really go outside of the box and really test the boundaries, because I mean, now with a queen like Evie Oddly, I mean, I don't think it's about man or woman. I think it's an expression of both and, you know, celebrating how you feel and how you know, present yourself. So, I mean, a lot of these girls don't even wear body or boobs and, you know, they are welcomed. And I think it's kind of cool where it's evolving that now so much, not like mean girls. There's that, you know, like this type of queen, you know, you are what you are and you can change and be whoever.
Right.
Trixie Mattel said it's the most fun I've ever had on RuPaul's Drag Race. The date will be in 2020, so it'll be next year. It'll be 12.
Well, it's the first time not competing, right?
So we've got celebrity, we have all stars, we have regular Drag Race, we've got the UK one, we've got the Thai one.
So it's the year of Drag Race.
We need RuPaul's Drag Race Puerto Rico,
right? Can you imagine?
I would watch the fuck out of that one.
Well, that you know, we're dramatic. All this Latinos.
It's like some of the most legendary Ru girls are Puerto Rican girls. You know?
That would be amazing to do a Latin version, especially since there hasn't been a Latin queen.
A Latinx.
I don't know what's up with that.
So the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race Celebrity Edition will be America's Next Drag Celebrity Superstar, which I'm like, what?
So
that just sounds
any celebrities
weird.
Leaked yet or no?
No, I'm looking on the internet. Everybody's keeping a tight seal about it.
I wonder who it is. What celebrity has gone missing?
I gotta start doing that.
I don't know.
I mean, because they've had some pretty amazing celebrity, A-list celebrities, but are those going to be the ones that are competing, or is this going to be something like the Masked Singer?
I don't know. I'm curious to see if there's a celebrity of color, will they get the same racism that the drag queens of color get on RuPaul's Drag Race? Like, will somebody be really mad that, you know, Will Smith is in drag? You know what I'm saying? Like, the way they were mad about Silky Ganache.
Mm.
They're like, you know. And part of it is, I think it's like, you know, there's racism in the world, and RuPaul's Drag Race brings all kinds of feelings up to the surface.
Yeah, well, I just got on the Twitter right now from the RuPaul's Drag Race, and some are not too happy. One says, from Nico, says, "This is absolutely absurd and so disappointing. You're celebrating cis celebrities rather than allow trans queens on the show."
Mm.
Who? What? Maybe it's Caitlyn Jenner. I'd be happy to be on RuPaul's Drag Race Celebrity
But Edition. I think that's what I'm trying to say. I'm hoping that this does open the doors to that it's not a gender thing. It's more of a drag art, so that trans can be in the same field with us.
So are
competing. I don't think there should be a whole separate RuPaul's Drag Race trans. No, my whole life I've performed with trans, and we've competed against each other in pageants and whatnot. I don't see why there should be a segregation in that.
I don't either. And do you think, though, like a lot of the girls, the alumni from RuPaul's Drag Race, or you yourself, are you worried that these celebrity drag queens that get, or the celebrities that get on there that do drag, are going to come and snatch up all your gigs?
Oh, man. You know, and they probably will. They probably will, too.
You know, are they going to do a work the celebrity world tour?
It's going to have to be on Survival of the Fittest. You got to go on. You know. But what's worked for me is keeping in good with all my contacts, and where I go, I, you know, try to be professional. Mm-hmm. And as long as you stay true to your game and, you know, do what you have to do, you're going to be asked back. But if you're a bitch, that's it. So I don't think a lot of these celebrities are going to want to handle with what some of these drag queens really go through.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, best of luck to everybody. You know, I think it's inevitable that RuPaul's Drag Race is going to diversify. And we've seen that on this season of Dragula. We saw that on Camp Wanakiki, and the shows are better for it.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't you want something that makes your show better?
Exactly. Complacency is death. Let's keep evolving and, you know, opening doors for all.
Yeah. Good luck with all that, because I know that's going to be hard. We're actually about to go see Night of a Thousand Pumpkins.
I'm Yay. So excited.
At the Chicago Botanical Garden. If you're in Chicago, there's still tickets for tomorrow night.
Tomorrow.
Or you probably can just go there and beg them to let you in.
Because tonight's sold out, right?
It's sold out. Yeah, it's a sold out event, and it goes to charity. And it's almost $20 tickets. So it's
but
not
then you got
to
pay to park, and that's expensive.
It's $20 too.
Oh,
yeah, it's super cheap.
Well, I'll see if they let me film, so you guys can see a little behind the scenes on my
I think I want to take pictures
Live.
Of you and us with the bougie pumpkins.
Yep.
Because these are expensive. These are like artisanal, sculptural. Artisanal
pumpkins. That's what I'm excited about. Yeah, to see.
Very fancy. I mean, they have some of these great botanical artists create these masterpieces to this exhibit. And so I'm like, ooh, what's it going to look like? It's probably going to look like just a bunch of fancy jack-o'-lanterns. But I'm hoping they push the envelope.
I'm sure there's going to be a couple cute ones.
It's like pumpkins are jack-o'-lanterns are the drag of pumpkins.
I'll gag if I see a RuPaul one.
Yeah, I'm sure they will have something there. Why wouldn't they? I'm excited. Remember, folks, Feast of Fun is made possible because of fierce, fabulous people just like you. Go to feastoffun.com/plus and listen to thousands of legendary podcasts with all the Rue girls, including Mama Rue herself, several times on Feast of Fun. Honeys.
And you can go back and listen to an interview we did with Jade. You were our first, Rue girl other than Rue herself to come on the podcast.
Yes, definitely. And you guys can always catch me on my social media on Instagram, Jade Sotomayor, Twitter, Sotomayor Jade, and Facebook, David Jade Sotomayor.
and watch David Jade Sotomayor and Monica Verily Hills on Cooking with Drag Queens on YouTube.com/feastoffun.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, it's so meaty.
Moist.
You're moist. Mm-hmm. And so check that out, guys. We want to thank you so much for listening, and thank you, Jade, for coming on.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for
sharing
having me.
The pleasures of food and friendship. Remember, if you can't cook for yourself,
how the hell are you going to cook for anybody else, right?
Can I get a bon appetit up in here?
Try that again.
Can I get a bon appetit up in here?
Bon appetit.
Bon appetit.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Mwah.